evening, everybody. Welcome once again to another episode of You Haven't Seen That Podcast, or YHST for short. I'm Isaac.
I'm Ava.
And this is the show where we cover movies on the growing list of films excitedly that has people asking us the question.
You haven't seen that?
You did it by yourself.
I don't care.
What the hell was that? We're keeping it in, damn it. We have fun here. if you're listening to us in the future, feel free to follow us on our social media so you can watch us live streaming. Dear, where can they find us?
They can find us on Instagram and TikTok at F-O-R-E-H-E-D Films.
That spells out Forehead Films.
Without the A.
And it, yeah, exactly. Without the A, because somebody else has the actual correct spelling of it. Screw you, some merch. And if you want to support us, tis the holiday season, you can do so by hitting us up on Venmo at YHSD Pod. Most appreciated.
I also like coffee. That's acceptable as well.
No. Don't distract them. We're covering two movies today that were streaming on Netflix. We wanted to try to squeeze a third one in there, but as time didn't have it, we didn't get a chance to see it. But we will for sure be visiting it in the future. What is it called?
Emilia Perez.
Instead, we watched...
Subservience and Maria.
Yeah. Complete opposite end of the spectrum movies.
Totally different. Totally different.
So it's we're kind of like on brand with that sometimes. The last episode, the last stream that we did, and the last episode, we had like three movies in a varying degree. It was originally supposed to be about like crappy movies, but then Queer got in there, and it was a goddamn good movie.
Well, this one, I just noticed that you picked Subservience, and I picked Maria. So it shows the taste that we have.
Wow. God, we're barely like 2 minutes in and I'm getting slammed. Jesus Christ. Okay, well, let's start. We usually like to start with the shitty movie because we don't really have a lot to say in regards to those. Go ahead, kick it off.
All right, we're starting with Subservience. Starting Megan Fox.
Megan D. Fox. Hello?
Michael Marrone. Mitchell Marrone.
Jesus Christ.
God, I'm so sorry. I butcher names.
Well, how'd you butcher his name when you were like all like...
Okay, no, here's the thing. I had his name this whole week from when I started, when I think it was last week, and I was like, you didn't tell me this actor was in this movie?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I know how to pronounce his name. And then today I'm just like, how the hell do you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
I just don't know.
I had an evening to myself and I go, oh, what do I want to watch? Do I want to try to catch up on any other shows? I didn't have a lot of time. And then it just popped in my head. Oh yeah, that sexy AI bot movie with Megan Fox. I'm home alone. I'll watch it. It was hot and it was steamy. And so anyways, I watched that, not even fathoming that we were going to cover it, kind of sheepishly a day or so passed. And I was like, hey, Alva, you weren't home and I watched Subservience. She's like, the one with Megan Fox where she's like an AI robot, like an adult version of Megan. I was like, yeah, it's pretty steamy. And she's like, okay. And then
a couple of days pass. And then I am scrolling on TikTok like I do. And I see, a clip, and I'm just like, hold on.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Let me put my research in it.
I was like, I know that guy because I know that guy from 365 Days. And if you read Smut or you watch those smutty movies, you would know him, and he's delicious. So I end up texting him and telling him.
Drooling
like,
through the text.
Dude, no.
Yes.
Yes. No, yes. But... I was like, how dare you not tell me that it was this guy?
Yeah.
I would have watched this a long time ago as soon as it came out, but no. So I ended up watching it.
It was kind of unfortunate, though. I really would have, I'm so curious how we would have reacted, like watching it together fresh, just kind of like sheepishly looking over and looking at the movie and just like sweating and drooling.
I think at the same time, I'd be watching that and reading a book at the same time. Like, it really wouldn't like if it's at home, I could multitask and do things, but. Yeah.
Okay. So like I said, it's like an adult version of Megan. If you're not familiar with the movie Megan, I forgot what studio came up with that one.
Was it Blumhouse?
Yeah, Blumhouse had this movie called Megan, where it's an AI. It's more of like a prototype AI robot.
Robot friend.
Yeah, a friend, and then it protects its owner, and it goes awry. The premise is we're in the near future. These Sims. They're all around. They're taking everyone. They're taking their jobs. And the Megan Fox character, Sim Alice, is like of the highest model and everything. So like what can go wrong, right?
Everything.
I'm not going to completely shit on this movie. I joked a bit about being...
It was an okay movie.
It was okay. Yeah. I always find it fun when a sci-fi movie sets up like a world of science and tries to set up these rules, and you get to explore like, what does this robot look like, and how does it function in regards to helping a family out and things like that. Like the fact that this is a house robot or house sim and she's just drop dead stunning gorgeous. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, dude, come on. But what I will give is, I don't know if like there was actual, I don't know, chemistry or tension. Like if the, what's his name? Michelle Marone?
Yeah.
The lead, Nick, like.
Oh God.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So.
Wait. Let me say. Megan Fox is in this like hot, almost schoolgirl like skirt. This character is like trying to play it cool. And I feel like if you have Megan Fox in real life in that outfit, you can't not like have your blood pressure raise.
I don't understand why she was with
Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going through troubles right now.
No, they're done.
I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for them.
But like when you see these two like doing behind the scenes like little videos and stuff, I'm like, there is so much chemistry there. Why are you with that skinny white kid? No offense to him, but you know. But I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of skinny white.
Yeah, no, I really thought this movie was kind of. It was okay. It did take me 2 days to finish it, though.
Okay.
It took me 2 days to finish. I think halfway through, I decided to... It
took me 5 minutes to finish. Hey-o!
Wow. Should we do another slam at 8 minutes or keep
Where's
going?
Where's my rim shot? I'll add it in later.
I forgot what I was going to say. Forget it.
Oh, the chemistry.
No.
Well, that it took you two sessions to finish.
Oh, yeah, I kind of lost interest halfway through, and I'm just like, it's a good stopping point. Let me go ahead and continue tomorrow.
I also finish it today. I also was distracted watching this movie. I don't usually like pick up my phone while watching a film, but I go, all right, cool, let's get to it. Okay, I get it. It's following the similar beats of any sci-fi movie where you know the thing's gonna go wrong, and it sets that up, and there you go. But here's the thing.
What's the thing?
I think I need like that on a button. I think this whole movie, this particular movie's concept was sold off of sex, of what would it be like, you know. Yes, we had our killer robots and we had our AI house that's going to kill us and all these the little doll that's going to kill you. What if it was a sexy bot that maybe you may or may not have boned that's also going to kill you, that maybe gains sentience and falls in love with you, but you got to smash and it's also sexy and you're like, do I kill it? Do I not? Oh boy. So it when it had, for me at least, I could speak for myself, when it had the like the sex filled energy scenes, I was like, oh, they're doing these scenes well. Okay, now I see what this movie's about. They try to fit some whatever storyline in there, and then whatever rules they set up kind of fell apart towards the end. You're like, okay, it was kind of clunky, and why is this happening? And you start to try to make sense of it because they set those things up and
quickly abandon it. Third act, end of second, yeah. Third act. I was like, what am I watching? But at the same time, I didn't want to text you about it because then I'm like, then I'm going to get distracted and start, you know, scrolling and stuff. And I'm just like, okay, this is now the movie has lost me. Now this is more like a what the fuck is going on movie.
And I will say, like, I go back and forth or whether or not I think like, I'm going to be a guy here for a second. Okay, so bear with me.
What a guy.
Right? What a guy. I'm going to, you know, sometimes I go back and forth whether or not her sexiness worked for this film. And I was like, oh, she's like, I got something going on. But it's always that thing when someone's playing a robot, it fucking annoys me when they go, head tilt. Oh, what do you mean? Head tilt? You're like, what are they, a dog? They're a robot. They would just process and be like, oh, however do you mean? You know what I mean?
I guess that would be, you think maybe because she is supposed to be more of like the feeling, the human behavior.
I just hate the head tilt.
Yeah.
I'm never listening to anybody going like, oh, please tell me more.
Oh, now that you say that, I'm gonna start tilting my head.
Oh, please don't. Fuck.
And other way. And just, whatever do you mean?
There is a scene, and kind of spoiler, whatever. You guys will watch it, and you're not really watching it for the story, but fuck it. So the reason why they get the maid is because the mom, played by Madeline Zima.
Not the drink.
She was one of the kids in The Nanny, and she popped up
who she is.
In Doom Patrol. Anyhow, she plays a mom that is waiting for a heart transplant. So she's in the hospital most of the movie. And so that's why they get the sim for help and everything like that. And like all those things of a struggling dad and his, you know, alcoholism, like it was fine. But anyways, there is a part of the film where she, spoiler alert, fuck it, she discovers that Nick, her husband,
dun, dun, dun.
I have that button.
Dun, dun, dun.
Aggro, dun, dun, dun. She finds out that he slept with the sim.
Because the sim said something.
It bears the question, if you had a robot, but you know it's a robot, you're fully aware it's a robot, and you sleep with it, is that cheating? Like, it reminded me of a joke I read online that was like, oh, I never get mad at my wife for, you know, using a vibrator, but oh, I use the Jizzmaster 3000, you know, fuck what, and fuck it, I'm a weirdo. So, like, if I had a sim.
You lost me halfway through that. I was like, wait, what's going on?
If I slept with a sim that looked like Megan Fox, is that cheating? Would you get mad? Or just be like, clean her out?
I'd be like, you can marry her if you like.
It's a robot. Go. Or you're not marrying your toys. God, you're being weird. Wow, man, grow up. No, real question.
Are you going to tell me that I'm wrong?
No, that's a real question, though. Like,
I just answered it and you just joked around and I'm just what like, was the answer? Yeah. Oh my God.
No, real answer.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't think I mean.
Would you be like, it took you how long?
I don't know. I really don't have an opinion on that, to be honest. I don't have like the answer that you're wanting to find.
Because
or
it was just this annoying part in the movie where the wife fucking blows up in this whole giant argument. They're going to split and it's like, lady, look, I get it, right? You slept with your.
Newsflash, Isaac. It's a movie.
I know. I'm just saying. It's bringing up. It bears the question. Like, you know, that reaction's a bit much. Anyhow, fine. I'll move off the fucking subjects. I'm a little touchy over here. Jeez. Would you suggest people watch this movie?
I suggest they stream it for sure if they want to see Megan Fox naked.
She's not naked though. She's not like full. Like, there's no full.
Well, I mean, movie naked. Like, you know, where they.
What's movie naked? Where they have you seen like the substance?
Precisely. Like, well, that's different. But like, put their arms and stuff like. Movie naked.
No, it was tasteful nudity. So it was sexy. Whatever. I'd say watch it. If you're a guy, watch it.
I'm gonna say watch it. Just watch it for the guy or for the girl. Who cares?
Yeah, it's silly. It's just a silly movie. Whatever. Okay. Now to get into seriousness.
Oh, wait.
We on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Totally opposite.
Which I'm pretty sure I'm on.
Totally opposite. We have yet to find out your diagnosis.
2025. Undiagnosed, but something's not right. All right. Set
so
us up.
So unhinged. This one is Maria Callas. Maria Callas, the world's greatest opera singer, lives the last days of her life in the 1970s Paris as she confronts her identity and life. Played by Angelina Jolie. Dun, dun, and dun. I cannot repeat any of the other names or pronounce the names of the other people other than like one, but it's okay.
Yeah, the supporting cast was they were amazing. Good. They were good, but obviously outshadowed by Angelina Jolie. It's definitely one of the more sophisticated movies. It's about an opera singer. I don't like opera. I don't hate it, but I just on the radio, I'll tune into like, what is it, like 88.1 jazz or 93.1 and 91.8, whatever, you know, to some like orchestra music and whatever, but
classical
music. But opera doesn't call to me, you know, musically. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really care about this character. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about her or the real person. We'll talk about the music. When the moments where she is actually singing happened, I was whelmed. I wasn't, you know, it was okay. You had said that she did some vocal work for this?
Yeah, she did 7 months of operatic singing classes to get prepared for this. And just the fact that you go from, like, not being a singer to, like, singing this way. And, of course, I believe she's a falsetto. But Maria Callas is a soprano, so I'm just like, oh, I don't know how it's going to happen. Yet I don't know much with lingos of music. That's your department.
Yeah, no, falsetto is like you go into that head voice. Mm. And then anyways. But so when those moments happened, I was expecting her to actually like sing live. but the lip syncing was off. Like, it was kind of good for a moment, and then it was off. It didn't take me out of the movie, but just in regards to that singing, I wanted to get that out of the way. It was okay. I was whelmed.
Yeah.
Now, what was your takeaway from the story itself and how it was told?
I think here's the difference. I enjoyed it a lot, the singing and the story itself. Also, the color grading, how certain colors and everything changed within, like, certain scenes and everything like that. I think the only thing I kind of wish they would have changed a little or addressed something a little different was maybe when she was, like, out in public and people were coming up to her, maybe a little bit different there, because it just felt like it was still in that weird, is this in our head or is it...
So what Elva's trying to say is...
Sorry.
Is she had an addiction to medication, and that medication caused her to hallucinate. And the hallucinations were illustrated by using a different, more richer, kind of poppy color palette. There were some moments where it sets it up like, oh, is she imagining these scenarios happening? And when it would swap to a different color palette, you kind of quickly realize, oh, yes, that's what's happening. This movie is multi-layered in such a way that when I talked about the Amy Winehouse movie, Back to Black, my issue with that movie was that it was so heavy about the addiction that it took away from who the person was and their talent. I remember during that review, although I cut it out of the final review, I brought up the movie Ray. In the deleted scenes of that movie, all of the deleted scenes were the substance-related, drug-related. And if you were to leave those in there, it then makes it a movie about drug addiction. So this particular movie found that happy medium where when you show her using the drugs, it's just a quick taking of the pills and then the hallucinations following it after. But it's shot so beautifully, you're not like, oh, it's a drug trip or anything like that, because it is a vehicle to kind of dig into her psyche, to be introspective about what she's dealing with on these last days of her life. So when Alva was like, oh, it's this movie's about Maria, it's an operatic singer, I'm like, oh God, Angelina Jolie. Okay, I love Angelina Jolie. In these last couple movies that she's been in, she has been a presence. And so that is the thing that's going to really hold me into it. But it surprised me. Full disclosure, I was waking up from a nap and we're running out of time. So I go, okay, hit play. And as the movie's going and like 5 minutes into it, it is captivating how it is shot. It is paced slowly, but not in a bad, boring slowly. The kind of slowly, though, that if you had cast somebody else, which we'll cover in a minute, who was in talks to play Maria, if anybody else was cast in this movie, it then would have made it boring. But how deliberately it was composed, shot, color graded, and acted, all that juxtaposed together created this really captivating, eye-catching movie that was magnificent. It let those moments breathe, and how it told her story, which is, it sets up that you know she's going to die. So the movie isn't about like, oh, what's going to happen? No, it's like, boom, this is where they find her dead.
It's a foreshadowing thing.
And then let's backtrack and see what she was going through, which was such an interesting way, because she knew in essence that these were her last days, and she was dealing with her addiction and her ego and grandioseness, celebrity.
The prima donna.
Prima donna.
Yeah. And also her trying to prove to herself that she can continue to sing and do everything. Mm-hmm. A little backstory of it. Because of her weight loss at such a young age during her career, that affected her singing. So that end of the movie, or like the whole movie, is just her trying to prove to herself that she can still sing, but you can tell that her voice shakes in certain parts because she's not at her prime anymore.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So she's playing a 51-year-old, 55-year-old. How old was she when she passed? Because Angelina Jolie is so gorgeous, I couldn't really put her age anywhere. So when they do finally do some flashbacks where like either it's shot in like black and white or like in 53, or like in a filmic way, then you can kind of compare and contrast like, oh, okay, now I do see the grays in her hair and how she holds herself is a little bit older. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Angelina Jolie's performance.
Okay.
First off, who was supposed to be cast?
Wasn't supposed to.
In talks.
It was Lady Gaga. And I probably would have never wanted to see this movie if it was played by her. Now, I understand why, because Lady Gaga does have that those Greek features, as Maria Callas was Greek. The only thing is with Lady Gaga, I just feel like she would not play this role correctly, or it would be too big.
It would look like Lady Gaga. It would be like Lady Gaga pretending to be somebody.
Yeah.
As opposed to an actual actor living in this skin, like this character's, this person's skin. Angelina Jolie rode that line between playing it big, playing it minimal, and being vulnerable, but yet sophisticated, but, you know, showing that trauma, yet having that ego up.
Yeah, like those scenes where, like, she has, like, a little bit of a lashing out or a little bit of anger. It's done with, like, such sophistication where it's, like, she'll lash out, but it's just, like, no, I'm doing this very, like, royally lashing out.
Yeah, it's not
giving it class.
Yeah, there's, I mean, you know, per every movie, you know, you hit a crescendo where the character will typically kind of actually give a full-throated yell, lashing out. But there's so many moments throughout the movie that Angelina Jolie, as this character, does it in such, like, a lovely way where you're like, oh, yeah, go ahead, talk down to me. I'm loving this. It's
go ahead.
Her vocabulary is so prima donna. Mm-hmm. And the way she holds herself, if you've seen her in Eternals, where she just has that power, that still power, all just the confidence of this character. And again, wouldn't have come through with any other actor.
No.
She's up for, and on the last episode, you talked about her being up for a Golden Globe.
Yes.
And possibly an Oscar.
I haven't seen about the Oscar nominations yet.
But I can see her really being on the top consideration for that.
She did get an 8-minute ovation at the Cannes, movie festival. So I think that's when I was like, why is she getting an 8-minute ovation? What movie did she do that I have not heard? And I did not even know that she was in any talks of her filming anything. Mm-hmm. But once I found out, I was like, that's on my list. That's on my radar. And I think since I found that out and I told you, I kept like mentioning like, oh, whenever the Angelina Jolie movie comes out, this and that. And then it did come out. But because it was such limited release for theaters, I think it was only like maybe less than a month that I was in theaters and then I went to streaming.
Hmm.
Either way, how she lived, how her apartment was decorated, like that.
Oh my gosh.
That is what I want to have. I want to live in that. It's like, think of Pride and Prejudice, but like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, just like that. I just want to live in that. Like a museum. Like, just give me the museum. Just like, let me in the museum.
Take me back to my apartment. I'm like, that's your apartment? Golly. Yeah.
France has nice apartments.
Queen's bedroom.
Yes.
I was like, that's a fucking headboard. That headboard's as big as their goddamn unit.
I was not expecting them to have, throughout the whole movie, you could hear like little snippets of her singing. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she did the whole Anne Boleyn performance that she's done before, that she's covered, that scene just gave me chills. One, because I'm much very into history. And I think a few weeks ago, I'm just like, did I tell you that there's a musical of six, which is like the Six Wives of Henry VIII?
Yeah, I remember.
Which I never thought that this was going to, they were going to do that one. Mm. I've been like piecing things together. But if anyone knows Anne Boleyn and all that history, the fact that she did this piece and everything, it kind of clicks of like how her life was, Maria Callas' life was, and the kind of little similarities there. But like how she performs that one scene, I'm just like, I might cry right now because it was done so beautifully.
Speaking of the music, there was a scene that she has with her sister, and I won't say too much about it, but they talk about some instances that happened when they were young and their formative years. Her sister says, I'm living my life with blinders on, and you're living your life in the past. You need to close that door. And she says, I can't close the door. That's where I pull the music from, which is so heartbreaking because most artistic people, and specifically musical people, pull the inspiration a lot of times from dark places, from hurt places. And so I don't know how people manage to do that. I used to strum a guitar here and there back when I was younger. And I was like, let me try my hand at writing a song. And I was like, well, I'm feeling really depressed. Let me try to write some stuff. And it just like hurt more to write it. It wasn't cathartic at all. because, you know, unless you were to get a song done in a sitting, you're like, well, let me go back to it and let me feel depressed. I can't do that. A little bit of a sidebar, but there is a musician I follow called the White Buffalo. All of his songs are like murder ballads. They're dark, dark, dark. I love them. And that person in real life, like he has his YouTube thing called In the Garage.
Oh, it's very bubbly.
He's like the bubbliest, happiest of guys. And when they ask him, like, how do you write this stuff? He's like, I don't know. I guess I just get it out all there. And then I get to leave it in the songs and, you know, fuck off. But this character is not able to separate those two things and instead is forever tormented by her past. And although it comes out in beautiful music, it's one of those things that they kind of explore a little bit, as well as exploring like how a narcissistic parent can kind of really fuck you up, and touching on a little bit of the downside of celebrity. Mm-hmm. But it's not so heavy in there, but it like needed to get sprinkled in there, because if this is the person on their last week of their life, they need to explore all of those things.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Pretty no, prolific. No, oh, I just had a little like, I just had like a little connecting the dots moment in my head. And I guess I was supposed to be the oh wow in my head, but I said it out loud. It happens. So it's really not like a spoiler for me to say this, because if you do look this up, but Maria's lover in this is Aristotle Onassis, which, if you know that last name, is one of Jackie O's husbands or at this. And the director who did this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Also did Jackie.
And he did.
And Spencer. So this is like his trilogy of female ed biopics.
Yeah.
So Jackie, Spencer, and then this is the third one.
Pablo Lorraine.
Yeah. He did Jackie, and I was just like, wait, hold on. And I was just like, it just connected the dots right now.
I gotta check those other ones out. Natalie Portman plays Jackie O, right? Mm-hmm.
And then I think Kristen Stewart plays Princess Diana.
Kristen Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow, she actually looks good as her.
Mm-hmm.
Does she do a lot of blinking?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anything else you want to cover about it? In a nutshell, it is a beautiful movie. It's captivating, although from the cover it may seem a little bit stuffy. If you love movies and you're able to stray away from like mainstream stuff, it's not necessarily a thinker, but it does require your undivided attention. Angelina Jolie is a powerhouse in this movie, and I really do hope she's already getting the recognition, but I mean, not that she needs an award, but man, it just, this performance was absolutely a culmination of all of her performances. Just in this one thing, it shows all of her experience, bam, in this role. Amazing. Streaming on Netflix.
Venetian decor. That is how I want to live.
Did you notice, by the way, she did not have a husband next to her. She was alone in a giant bed, so.
But slept on one side of the bed.
Okay.
That is what I have.
All right. Ready to move along?
Yes, we are, sir. Yes, we are.
Okay, now we move along to a segment that I am now going to start calling YHST Gets Fresh. Ooh, this is...
turn again.
What? Yeah, so this is a segment of the show where we go back and forth and alternate on guessing the Rotten Tomatoes critic and audience score, as well as giving our own personal score about the movies that we just talked about. From 59 and below being rotten and then 60 and above being fresh, it is your turn on guessing the Rotten Tomato score.
Oh, we're doing that one. I thought I was doing trivia.
Nope, not yet.
My bad. I was skipped ahead. All right. Subservience. My bad. I was excited for this trivia.
No, we have the trivia. Okay. Subservience. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. Your personal rating?
67.
And critic?
65.
Audience?
71.
Wow. You really think highly of this movie.
Might be female driven.
Okay. Subservience, critics give it a 48% rotten. And audience liked it even less at 39%.
Okay. Yeah. Checks out.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't think it deserved being fresh, but it's pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
Even for her being sexy. Okay. Moving on to Maria.
Okay. I'm not looking.
Your personal score?
88.
Critic?
81. And 82.
Okay. You think higher of this movie. Wow. Mind you, we don't give Rotten Tomatoes a lot of weight, but it just goes to show you that sometimes critics can be fucking dicks. Critic score is 74% and audience score is 68%.
The checks out with the audience because it was a little bit of a deep movie.
Yeah. So usually deeper movies like this, like artistic, poetic, psychological, arty kind of movies, they rate lower for just regular audiences. And critics, I was expecting the critics to rate this at like an 85, maybe even like an 80.
This is Rotten Tomatoes we're talking about.
That is true. Yeah. In the past, we've gone through like the comments of some of the reviewers and yeah, it's just people living in their fucking basement. Slam. But anyways, it's just a fun little game that we play. We give no weight to it. Our personal score, again, a little bit higher than what other people rated it. So there you have it. There it is. And now we get to move on to YHST trivia. The theme of our trivia is usually based on the movies that we talked about. This time, we're covering artificial intelligence. Do-do-do. All right. Hit me, Alva.
All right. Where's my button?
And if I really get it right, that's a ding, ding, ding.
We don't do that. We're only doing this. We're not.
Okay.
Who directed The Creator?
Gareth Edwards.
What is the villainous rogue AI in Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning called?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't know.
The entity. You need to trim these, man. What decade did 2001 A Space Odyssey come out?
The 70s.
The 60s.
Damn it, really? Holy shit, Kubrick.
Who voiced the AI virtual assistant that Theodore Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with in Her?
ScarJo.
What country is Chappie set in?
South Africa.
Which of these songs does the AI doll Megan sing in the movie of the same name? A, Titanium, Burn, Party in the USA.
Titanium. That stupid dance scene. So cringy.
What is the name of the test being administered to the robot Ava in Ex Machina?
Oh, the Turing test. Yeah.
iRobot is based on a book by which of these writers? Isaac Asimov, Michael... God, these
are demons. Oh, they'll save you his trouble. Asimov.
There you go, Asimov. How many years after Blade Runner did the sequel Blade Runner 2049 come out?
Oh, shit. 40 years. Damn it.
35.
Oh, so close.
And that comes to the end of the segment of the trivia.
Sexy.
Woo.
We're still figuring shit out, okay? She hates this shit.
Hate the headphones.
All right, ready to wrap this up?
Yes, sir, Bob.
All right, let's go. There you have it. There it is. That is what we thought about Subservience and Maria. Subservience, yeah, you can stream it in the background. Maria,
pay attention to it.
Yeah, pay attention to it. Watch it. Might not be for everybody, but whatever. And again, if you want to support us, you can do so on our Venmo at YHST Pod. It's holiday season. Please be in the season of giving. And you can find us on our social media.
FOREHED Films on Instagram and TikTok.
That spells out Forehead Films. And at those two spots, you can hit the notification bells and keep track of what we're posting. I do still put video reviews out in case you don't want to listen to a whole episode, because why wouldn't you want to listen to this fun stuff? And you just need quick little videos, snippets. There you have it. There it is. Please don't keep us a dirty little secret. Like, share, follow, comment, interact into this filmic community. I've absolutely fucking love it. I'm having a ton of fun doing it. I can only speak for myself. Anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good.
All right. In the meantime, let us know what movies you're excited to go see and what movies on your list of films that has people asking you the question, you haven't seen that? Damn it, she got me. Later, folks.
Okay, bye.
Damn it.